Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just an honor and a great pleasure this morning to bring the word of God to you. And I want to thank Pastor Daniel, so much for this opportunity to bring God's word. Our text today is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. And so for some time now, we've been going through the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians, Paul wrote this letter whilst he was in prison to the church. And he opens the book up with a prayer and also a promise for them. And this morning, we are going to hear what Paul is about. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Amen. So in this text, Paul gives the church an update of his situation and what had become the effect of his imprisonment. It was important for Paul to do this because the church on one hand was grieved over his imprisonment, and he needed to let them know that he wasn't guilty of any crime, but his imprisonment was solely on the account of his stance for the gospel. And he was suffering because of his attachment to Jesus. And for had it not been that he was a Christian, he wouldn't have suffered that. And he uses this opportunity to encourage the church and also to teach them about a very important key in kingdom participation. That is, God uses our circumstances to advance the gospel. The gospel advances through suffering. Praise the Lord. So for a missionary like Paul, it was a clear limitation from the outside that his missionary activities couldn't go on. He could no longer travel from place to place, sharing the good news, evangelizing, planting churches, encouraging the saints, and even building people up. So his imprisonment on the onset could look like a complete hindrance. Rather than hindering the spread of the gospel, his imprisonment brought about opportunities to witness the risen Savior in ways that he couldn't have done had it not been that. So in his circumstances, he had these unusual ways to preach the gospel. And I want us to look at these ways that Paul had to advance the gospel. So first of all, in the verse 13, we heard that throughout the whole prison guard and everyone else, it was made known to everyone. And Paul's conviction of the conviction of his innocence spread abroad, that he was in chains not for crime, but for Christ. And that was it was a favorable impression on Christianity as a whole, and Paul, in a way, was vindicated. So the good news also advanced in a way that it encouraged other brethren who had so much fear in proclaiming the gospel. So Paul's imprisonment advances the gospel by stimulating boldness and courage, strength in others to proclaim the good news. Because when they heard, they saw Paul's boldness, even in the face of death, they were encouraged that we also have to go on. We also have to do this. We also have to spread the gospel. And thirdly, the gospel of God advanced regardless of varied motives. So we heard Paul say that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others with good motive. So those who did with good motive and those who did with evil motive, envy motive, selfish ambitions. But whatever it was, the gospel kept moving on. Hallelujah. So those who, in a way, saw themselves to be in competition with Paul, saw his imprisonment as an opportunity to advance their own cause, and also, diminish Paul's influence in a way. But regardless of those motives, Jesus' life to Paul, one way or the other, some people heard about the life of Jesus. And so far as Christ Jesus was preached, that was enough for Paul. Praise the Lord. So for Paul, it didn't matter who took the glory. It didn't matter who was saying what. But all it mattered to him was that Christ is preached. Amen. And Paul wrote this letter to encourage them to find joy in difficult circumstances. Because of his own imprisonment, he encouraged the church that the church would also have joy regardless of what they were going through. So his joy in this time was to be an example for them as well. And Paul's attitude towards the believers who even wanted to afflict him whilst he was in pain, whilst he was in chain, was something that the church needed to know, because the church last week, Reverend Paul taught here, and we saw that the church had issues, they had challenges, and one of the challenges they had disunity among them. There was an internal conflict. So Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3, there was a disunity. So Paul addressed that. In that chapter. So here Paul was letting the church know that regardless of all that they face, his attitude towards those who were even making life harder for him in prison was something that the church could look at, was an example for the church. Now, there are some questions that I would like us to consider as we work through this whole book, the verses that we read, sorry. What is it about suffering in the first place that keeps the gospel moving forward? And one of the things that God helped me to understand in my preparation is that suffering is part of God's redemptive plan. Amen. So inasmuch as we would not like to embrace it, it is an essential part of the gospel. The gospel was born out of suffering. Amen. So the gospel cannot advance without it. So that in the Old Testament, we see the life of Joseph, how he was sold by his own brothers into prison, and how God used his story in the course of time to bring the Israelites, the family of Joseph, to Egypt. God advanced his redemptive story through his life. And so Jesus, you know, at a point he prayed, if it's your will, let this cup pass me by. But he needed to go through the cross so that he said, not my will, but your will be done. And by his suffering, he brought many sons to glory. Praise the Lord. By his suffering, you and I, we received the God kind of life. And this is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says that this wisdom, the world did not know. The rulers of this world did not know. For had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Praise the Lord. The Lord of glory was crucified so that you and I will be saved. That was the way of God. And being followers of Jesus does not exempt us from suffering, but rather it invites us into it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20 to 21, that a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they listen to me, they will listen to you also. And for the apostle Paul, he also, at his conversion, received a mandate. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16, if we can have it there, Acts 9, verse 15 to, yeah. So this is what the Lord said to Ananias to go find Paul. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Amen. So Paul was invited into the life of God, into this suffering, that by the suffering, he will bring people also to the saving knowledge of Christ. So he wasn't free of persecution. Like Jesus said to his disciples, this is the way. No servant is greater than the master. For us today, we may find persecution or suffering in varied shapes and forms. And in the culture that we live in today, we may experience pushbacks and pressure from the culture as we engage with the culture and even as we lived our lives as Christians in this place. The fact that we identify with Jesus calls a lot of things for us. But one thing is important for us to know, that God is with us regardless. And no matter the things that we face, he is with us. And the amazing thing about suffering is that we don't get to choose what we want to suffer. We don't get to choose that. And we don't get also to determine how long the suffering should be, the duration, yeah, and the nature of it. We don't get to do that. Yeah. The good news is that we are the Lord's. We are His. He's chosen our lives for His glory, and He knows what kind of suffering will bring about His purpose and His plans in you, and that will ultimately make you fruitful and give Him the glory. So He chooses our lot. We don't get to choose that. And He knows how to fashion His good pleasure out of whatever we may go through. Jesus is a great expert. He knows how to bring beauty out of ashes. He knows how to make your story so great and beautiful to advance His cause. Praise the Lord. And so, whatever comes your way, child of God, know that God is present. He is aware. Nothing happens to you, child of God, without His knowing. He knows. His eyes are open to you day and night. And He sees you. And this is what He tells you, that when you go through the waters will not overwhelm you. I am with you even in the fire. So we take courage and confidence in this, regardless of what we face. For we know that God will make all things beautiful. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we see Joseph in the end of his father's life telling his brothers, when they realized all the bad things that they did to him, that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So there is a greater good in all that we face. And this morning, God is telling you and I, through the words of Paul, that He has a plan to advance His cause through all the things that you are going through. Inasmuch as it would be painful, inasmuch as it would be difficult for you, He has a plan. And the amazing thing again is that in all that you face in your suffering, there is an opportunity there that opens to the gospel. Hallelujah. So the gospel will be advanced regardless of what you are going through. It is important for us to cultivate this attitude. We don't have to be bitter, and we don't have to fall in despair and ask the questions, why me, oh God? And be so sad and fall in depression. But rather, we have to have faith and trust in God. Jesus said, in this world, you will have persecution. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen. So Jesus has overcome the world. And we have the great promise of all time in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The very place that Jesus gave the great commission, He gave out the great promise. And He said, as you go to teach them my ways, remember, assuredly, I am with you always to the very end of age. This is what He says. He is with us to the very end of age. So Paul could rejoice in his suffering. Paul could rejoice because the cause of the kingdom was advancing. And you can also rejoice because God is with you in it. And He will make His plans come to fruition in your life. He will advance His cause regardless of what you are going through. So the other day, David said that even though I go through the valleys of shadows of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The Lord of hosts is with you. The great I am is with you. His name is Emmanuel. He is our God with us. In the summer of 2007, we had gone as students to the northern part of Ghana on a missionary trip. And by God's grace, I think I have shared a bit of the miracles that happened when we were at that place. So God was really gracious to us, and we saw a lot of signs and wonders. What came out of that missionary trip, we planted two churches at that place. And afterwards, we came back. And my heart was so deeply moved that I wish I had the opportunity to go to this place again. So I talked to two of my friends, and I convinced them that why don't we choose this place to go do our national service? And my friends agreed that we will go to this place to do our national service. But the difficult part, though, was that you can choose the region, but you cannot choose the town. So that was something we wrestled with. And so we prayed and asked God that, may you help us that all the three of us can be placed at the same town, that we can get to do the things that we want to do for you. And people of God, the time came for us to go and do our national service. 3 weeks to time, I had a car accident. I lost my mobility completely. My left leg, I suffered a compound fracture. And the doctor said, it's going to take 1 year for you to get back on your feet again. National service was going to start. I had been given a note that I wasn't able to go anywhere for a whole year. It was really sad for me, and it broke my heart. What was really devastating, that I had a call from my friends, and they were posted to not only to the same town, but the three of us were posted to the same school. And we were given the same apartment to share. And that made me cry, because there was no way I could go. And here I was. God, I wanted to go out there for the sake of the gospel, and now there is no way I can go. It was just so sad for me. And I don't remember asking God why, but what I remembered saying that, you know what, I wanted to go there for you. So if I find myself incapacitated now, I know that you have a reason and you know why. Mm-hmm. Throughout my hospitalization, praise God, the new door that opened, the doctors and the nurses and the people that I was in the ward with, my ward was my parish. And every doctor that came around, I shared the gospel with them. Every nurse that attended to me, I shared the gospel with them. The people who visited their family members, I shared the gospel with them. And I love children. Some of you may know by now. I love children. So the children's ward, I will ask one of the nurses to just push me to the children's ward. I want to connect to the children, and I want to connect to parents. I just want to bless their lives. And so I was visiting the children's ward as often as I could. And this brought me so much joy. I am thankful that I couldn't go up there. But this is what you have allowed me to do, even in my pain. And I am grateful. One thing that happened in my ward, a woman who was just face to face with me, like opposite me, that we have shared the gospel, couple of months, she passed away. But before she passed away, she knew the Lord. And I was so thankful that we had the opportunity to spend time in God's word before she died. And that is what God is able to do. And a lot of people who visited when I was discharged home will come and would want to sit for us to just, let's get into the Bible. They wanted to know, why do you have so much joy in you regardless of the pain that you are going through? And I will point them to the reason, Jesus, that he is the source of my joy. God is able to make our lives fruitful. God is able to make our lives fruitful. He is able to advance his cause in our lives. Amen. The second question I would like us to consider is that, what is it about the gospel that advances regardless of all that we go through, regardless of our suffering, regardless of our weakness in the body, and regardless of our pain? Romans chapter 1, verse 6 says that Paul said that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. So the gospel is the power of God. God's power lives in the gospel. Amen. God's power lives in the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 11 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in this clay, in this jar of clay, that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul continued to say that we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed; perplexed, but not despaired; persecuted, but not abandoned; struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Praise the Lord. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is the power in us. The Holy Spirit of God, last week we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in these broken bodies. So the gospel can advance regardless, because it is not about you, it is not about me, it is about the Spirit of God. And Paul, once again, when he was in Corinth, one day said that, when I came to you, I did not come in the persuasive words of men, but I came preaching and teaching the word in the power of God and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that does the work in us. And so one day he cried out with this weakness that he was experiencing in his body, that take away this weakness from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so he said, I will glory in my weakness, because in my weakness I am strong. Strong in his weakness, because the power of redemption, the Holy Spirit of God, is the one at work in him. And friends, is the same Spirit that is in you, is the same Spirit that is in me. I know that in this culture that we are in, there are so much fear. Sometimes, even going out there to share the gospel, to tell somebody Jesus loves you, to tell somebody he died for you, to tell somebody that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We need this increasingly boldness and zeal that the life of Paul, that his imprisonment gave the brethren. The brethren, the brothers, they were stimulated and they dared to preach the gospel. This morning, I want to encourage you that it is the same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit. And Holy Spirit is here with us. He is in you. And if only you will allow him, if only you will allow him, you may not understand what you are going through right now. But the text that we have considered today at least gives us an insight that regardless of all that we are facing, it's a fertile ground that the gospel can flourish. God placed you in your neighborhood for a purpose. He placed you in your workplace, even though you may not like it so much, or there may be hostilities, or there may be things that are raging against you over there. But God placed you there for a purpose. He wants to advance the gospel through you. Sometimes instead of asking, why me, we have to ask, why not me? Why not me, God? Because in the accident that happened, 8 people died. I did not die. So why not me? Why did I not die? And we need to ask, what ways can you use this, my situation, to bring about your glory? Friends, if we are going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives, we will see so much of him. And the Holy Spirit will use our lives, all that we are going through, to bring about God's glory and also to make us fruitful. The grace and boldness to do this is in his power alone. I want us to read this, our last scripture, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Friends, let's fix our gaze on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And remember that Jesus is Lord in your circumstances. Whatever you go through, Jesus is Lord. Shall we bow down our heads and pray? Lord, we are so grateful to you for calling us to partake in the work that you are doing. Thank you for helping us know that the way of the cross is the way of suffering, and that's the way of Jesus. Above all, thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. We pray for boldness, and we pray, oh God, for zeal to keep moving on in the things that you have called us, that we will be able to proclaim the gospel. in all the ways that you will encourage us. Christ, in your name we pray. Amen.